Welcome back to the Midday Now. Norman Gilliland here with our quiz question and some live music from the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet. A real treat to have them here, and it's the closest thing I think we have to a symphony orchestra that we can pack into this broadcast studio here. A real treat to have them with us. We'll review yesterday's 12:30 quiz question, this word square having to do with three-letter words across to give you three more three-letter words down, and Snoopy raises to shake is the first one. That would be a paw, P-O-W, P-A-W. Under that, goes before mode, would be ala, A-L-A. Under that, connects to one across, would be a leg connecting to the paw. Those three words across give you down. Owner of one and three across is one, and that would be a pal, P-A-L. Next to that, has a head, would be ale, A-L-E. And finally, number one, down, does it amiably, that would be to wag. That was yesterday's question. Today's is much simpler. It goes like this. Merchants' concerns about fines or incarceration led to the use of this informal quantity. Here it is again. Merchants' concerns about fines or incarceration led to the use of this informal quantity. Very much in use today in a kind of colloquial way. What is it? You can identify it in the next 24 minutes at midday at WPR.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Amanda, and we'll see who wins our prize just before 1 o'clock from among our correct respondents. And now the prize for all of us, members of, all four of them, of the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet. And welcome to the Midday, gentlemen.
Thank you.
That's right, you can pick that up.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
And they are John Dearman, Matt Greif, Bill Kennengeiser, and Douglas Laura. And they're going to be performing with the Madison Symphony tonight.
Tonight and
to tomorrow
night.
At
Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon, 7:30, 7:30, and 2:30 at the Overture Center for the Arts. And a program that includes also a couple of other works, one by a contemporary Peruvian composer, Jimmy Lopez, and also the massive Sibelius Symphony No. 2. So you can call this kind of like a warm and cold program, the Sibelius having that Nordic cast to it, and Rodrigo.
The Rodrigo Concerto Andaluz takes you to southern Spain, to the heart of Andalusia. So
there aren't too many works written for four guitars, but this is one.
Yeah, there's actually a sizable number of concertos for four guitars and orchestra, but the Rodrigo is the one that's most frequently done. We also recorded a beautiful piece written by Sergio Assad from Brazil.
Sure, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Very colorful composing from Assad.
Yeah.
All right, so question of balance. Even four guitars with an orchestra, got that solved?
You know, Rodrigo wrote this piece like really cognizant of the difference in volume and color. And it's really a very sort of dialogue kind of piece. Like there's definitely spots where we'll do a theme and then the orchestra will take it over. We accompany them, they accompany us. We are very subtly amplifying, but we don't need much in that beautiful overture hall. So the outer movements, and we'll play a little bit of it later in the show, kind of feature the most expected gesture on four guitars, just all of us strumming away, you know, like almost like a flamenco troupe. But the central movement has, you know, one of those timeless Rodrigo plaintive melodies, you know, as he frequently does in those. It's sort of set in a kind of Passacaglia-like way. It's almost like neo-Baroque music, but it has a really gorgeous melody that first we trade off amongst ourselves, and then the orchestra picks it up. It's a delight to play.
So, Rodrigo, I get, but even though he was a pianist, right, not a guitarist,
yes,
but so much guitar music from the works of Rodrigo. However, we don't think too much of Aaron Copland as being a composer for the guitar, so what's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't know what his problem was, you know. Aaron Copland, we're just, you know, really fond of, you know, of course his music is amazing, and, you know, I like to say, you know, a guy from Brooklyn, you know, became, you know, the major exponent of the Wild West sound.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So I actually arranged two pieces by Copland. The first is the beautiful finale of Appalachian Spring, the Simple Gifts,
sure,
variations on the Shaker hymn, and then the famous hoedown from Rodeo, you know, which is really...
That's a handful.
Yeah, well, luckily we have eight hands.
And be about 24 strings, too.
Yeah, well, actually, if you count them, 26. We have 2 7-string guitars here.
Oh, blocked by the mic, of course. Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. So count them. I think they're all going to be in action, right? All 26 strings?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
For this, here we go.
And, yeah, we have to take a little pause in between for retuning.
Take your time.
But we're going to go start off with Simple Gifts by Aaron Copland. Thank you.
Down from Rodeo, and before that, Simple Gifts, the work of Aaron Copland, rendered for four guitars with a total of 26 strings. Okay, see, it would be either John Dorman, or you, Douglas Laura, I think, explaining why you need those extra strings, or do you need them? What would be the difference?
Sorry, one more time. I was tuning.
Well, priorities.
An important part of it. Yeah. Something about the extra strings, right?
Yeah, what did they do for
you? Yeah, it's kind of interesting about that. So I'm playing a 7-string guitar, which, of course, a guitar normally you would see a classical guitarist playing a 6-string guitar. We started playing in 1980 when we were still in school, and around 87, I was working with a guitar maker in New York at the time, and it was his idea. He said, you guys really should have like a guitar that has some extra strings, because there's four of you all playing the same instrument. It would give you more range. So he made me a 7-string guitar, which I've been playing since then in the quartet. But the funny thing about it is that people often, after a concert, they'll come up and they'll say, wow, you've got a 7-string guitar. That's like so weird, right? And I go, you have no idea. There's a whole country called Brazil where everybody there plays a 7-string guitar, not to mention some great, some jazz greats like George Van Epps and a couple others. It's also become pretty common in rock music, too. But yeah, and so Douglas Laura, who is has joined the group in recent years, that's his main instrument, is a 7-string guitar. And there's a type of music that's a very important type of popular music in Brazil called choro. It's a choro band. And
I think Vila Lobos wrote choro.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And the guitar in a choro group is almost always going to be a 7-string, because he's playing both. That guitarist is playing the bass line and chordal accompaniment.
So, question from the curb: how do you tune the 7-string guitar?
I'll resist.
I mean, E A D G B E.
Yeah. Well, traditionally, the Brazilian guitar is tuned to a B below the 6-string E.
Or a C.
Or a C. Okay. Yeah. But mine, I normally tune to A. Sometimes tune it down to G. So.
I have to ask you a question that kind of took me by surprise. You've been having an ongoing collaboration with a longtime friend of mine, Phil Proctor, of the Firesign Theater.
Phil?
Yes. We can go way back to
that.
Wow. Worked on a project together back in the day, and I hear from him from time to time. He got me into the Magic Castle in Los Angeles, example.
Back I have a friend, Ralph Sporosport, Ralph Sporosport Motors.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
So, you know, I was in high school, in addition to practicing guitar, the two things I was so addicted to was I listened constantly to Monty Python and the Firesign Theater.
Wow, that accounts for a lot.
Yeah, And many years later, we ended up somehow doing a project where we adapted Don Quixote for four guitars and narrator, and we premiered it with John Cleese.
Oh, wow.
From Monty Python. And he could only do that one performance because his career. And we randomly found, we were looking for the right actor, and Matt's like landlord or someone said, oh, there's this guy here named Phil Proctor. Maybe he could do it. And I said, Phil Proctor? And Phil and I have become really close friends. But we toured with him doing that show. And for me personally, to like share the stage with two of my comic heroes,
wow,
you know,
yeah,
30 years later.
Well, in the case of Phil, you know, he could do the narration in any number of accents that you would ask for.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, he was fun to go on tour with. It was like having your own personal court jester
the time. Yes, he's always
he
the court jester.
I wish we had some of that Don Quixote material here. We actually recorded some of it. We did a record a few years ago called New Renaissance, and it begins with 16 arrangements from that show. It's without the narration, but I adapted music from the Spanish Renaissance to sort of almost serve as one might say, you know, a radio drama score.
Radio drama.
Yeah, there you go.
That strikes a nerve.
It was great. You know, I think we could do something from the Rodrigo Concerto now.
I was going to say, as long as you're talking about Spanish Renaissance, and Rodrigo looks back to that time very much, doesn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. So as we discussed before, Rodrigo wrote the Concerto Andaluz for sort of our mentors, our role models, the Los Romeros,
si.
The royal family of the guitar, and we're still very close with them. In fact, Pepe... he teaches with me at USC, and he's going to get this very big honor on Monday. He's getting an Artistic Achievement Award from USC.
Well, about time.
But it was written for them, and it really takes you right to the heart of Andalusia. They were all born in Malaga in southern Spain. And so we're going to play just a little bit of the cadenza from the second movement, and then we'll go right into just the main opening theme of the third movement.
From the Rodrigo Concerto Andaluz for four guitars and orchestra. Triumphal wave at the end there, that's just right. And so some from the cadenza and main theme of the Concierto de Aranjuez, no, Concierto
Andaluz,
the other concerto, and yeah. A fairly recent work too, I mean,
Yes. What was it? 67, I think. Mm-hmm. 66, 67. Yeah.
And written for Los Romeros.
Yeah.
And performed there by the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet. And it's also going to be performed by them with the Madison Symphony tonight at 7:30, Overture Center, tomorrow night, Saturday night at 7:30, and Sunday afternoon at 2:30. And they're going to be performing the entire Concierto Andaluz of Rodrigo. And you're going to continue to work on Don Quixote, too, along the way. What
I hope so. You know, we haven't done the project with Phil for quite some time, mm-hmm. but he's staying really active. He's got this wonderful podcast going called...
Oh, yes, Planet Proctor?
Well, no, it's,
oh,
it's a podcast,
oh, podcast
called... Two Sexy Boomers with
like
him and another another comedian, and it's wonderful. Yeah.
Is there comic guitar music?
Yeah. Oh, I think we sound pretty funny sometimes.
And well, you're certainly very entertaining. And where do you have a long extended tour schedule for you?
Actually, this is kind of the end of the tour for us. We're gonna then go to we're actually a tri-continental group, if you can believe it. Like, John lives in Granada, Spain.
Oh.
Douglas lives in Brasilia, Brazil. And Matt and I live in L.A. So, you know, the idea of the L.A. Guitar Quartet's a bit of a deceptive thing. But
you could call it the L.A. Global Guitar Quartet.
Exactly. There's no borders with us, you know.
Doesn't it make it a little trickier to kind of line up performances then?
You know, it seems to be working okay. We have a pretty good history of working together, so yeah.
Well, it's certainly great to have you stop by here. I know you've got a few things to do yet today and for the weekend.
Well, it's a delight, and I will say one other thing. We have a guest conductor tonight, Laura Jackson. She's a wonderful accompanist, and we've done our first two rehearsals with the group, and they're sounding fantastic, and that Overture Hall is quite a beautiful space.
It comes highly recommended.
Yeah.
Or is there going to be any point in which we're going to hear any one of you at a time or two of you at a time in this
performance? In the second movement, that gives us each a moment to do one of this really plaintive melody set over a very delicate pad of the orchestra, and that's. I think the sort of prayer-like second movement theme that Rodrigo's so great at writing.
Unlike other stringed instruments, guitars are not necessarily that sought after if they're 200 or 300 years old. It's from what I hear, it's like the latest thing is what you really want.
That's true. These are all relatively new guitars. In fact, Douglas, his guitar is only about a year old, I think. Yeah. But we recently did a video at a guitar store that specializes in high-end collectible guitars, and Douglas was playing a guitar by a legendary builder named Torres that was actually owned by Francisco Tárrega.
Oh, great composer.
1886. And there, that was the sort of beginning of the modern guitar construction, what Torres did. But actually, Stradivarius actually built a guitar.
Did he?
He did. He built a few. They haven't strung them up. But there are relatives of the guitar that were called like Baroque guitars.
Fiuelas and things like that.
That are from that period. But that Taurus sounded pretty amazing, didn't it?
Amazing.
Yeah.
A pleasure having you all, the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet, on the midday today.